This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. The bankruptcy last October of MF Global, a New York-based commodities broker, caused chaos for tens of thousands of account holders who lost access to their money. And more than $1 billion belonging to their customers is still considered missing. MF Global's demise is the eighth largest bankruptcy in U.S. history. But the New York Times reports it's unlikely MF Global's top executives will face criminal charges. That includes former CEO John Corzine, the former governor and senator of New Jersey. Robert Mintz is a former federal prosecutor, now in private practice at McCarter & English in Newark. Welcome to WNYC.
Good to be here.
The Times reports, and this is a quote, criminal investigators are concluding that chaos and porous risk controls at the firm, rather than fraud, allowed the money to disappear. Does that mean if there was no intent to break the law, there was no crime?
That is exactly what it means. And you have to remember here that this investigation was not so much about the wisdom of placing these huge bets on European sovereign debt as much as it was whether or not there was an intentional use of customer money to try to prop up the company in the waning days before bankruptcy.
It certainly sounds like the final days at MF Global were chaotic, but in our justice system, a motorist, for example, who accidentally kills another person with their car, no intention to kill them, they can still be tried for negligence. Does a different standard apply for financial crimes?
The answer to that generally is yes. There is not what you would call a reckless standard for criminal prosecutions in financial fraud. You generally have to show that someone intended to break the law, or rather intended to commit an act that defrauded investors. So in this case, the real question is whether or not there was some knowing and willful use of customer money to try to save the company when the person who gave that directive may have known that the money didn't belong to the company and should not have been used for company purposes.
And they haven't been able to prove that. I remember reading something about an email exchange even indicating that John Corzine knew that customer money was being used.
Well, there was some ambiguity in the emails, and no doubt prosecutors pored over those very carefully as this investigation has gone on. But they do have to prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt, and they have to show clear-cut evidence that the money was customer money. It seems from the press accounts that trail between the alleged wrongdoing and a possible perpetrator is not all that clear, and that's why it seems that prosecutors may not ultimately bring criminal charges here.
Wasn't the Sarbanes-Oxley law passed in response to a number of corporate scandals intended to do away with the I-didn't-know-about-it defense for CEOs?
Yeah, that is exactly why it was passed. In the wake of Enron and other cases where prosecutors had essentially buried their heads in the sand and tried to convince shareholders that the company was doing better than it was by ignoring the true financial reality of the company, Sarbanes-Oxley requires them to certify as to the true financial position of the company so they cannot hide from the fact of where the company is and mislead investors. Here, though, the case is really not about misleading investors as to the financial state of the company. It's really a question about where this money came at the very end of the MF Global story and whether or not anybody knew that the money that was being used to try to save the company really didn't belong to the company in the end.
The New York Times report relies mostly on anonymous sources. Prosecutors have not publicly said what they will do. Lower-ranking MF Global staff could still face criminal charges. Corzine could still be sued. Do the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and the bankruptcy trustee have a better chance with a civil suit against Corzine?
Well, they may indeed, because the standard that they have to operate under is only a preponderance standard, which means more likely than not. A criminal case, as many people know, is a beyond a reasonable doubt standard. It's a much higher standard, much tougher for prosecutors to make those kinds of cases. So even if criminal charges are not brought here, Mr. Corzine and others are not out of the woods, because we do have these regulators and customers out there who believe they were defrauded who will likely bring civil actions to try to recover their money.
Robert, just last week we learned that the Department of Justice decided not to bring charges against Goldman Sachs on a case connected to the bank's marketing of mortgage-backed securities. How much does the MF Global case matter? Does it have as much resonance in terms of the financial crisis?
Well, I think it's more symbolic than it is really substantive. It was a very large bankruptcy, as you mentioned, the eighth largest in history, but it was also very high profile given Mr. Corzine's role in the company as a former governor and former United States senator. And there was a moment of high drama when he returned to Washington to testify before his former colleagues about the collapse of the company. So it's a case that has attracted the public's attention. And in the end, if criminal charges are not brought against anybody in connection with the failure of MF Global, no doubt it will feed the public's frustration with the perceived lack of individual accountability for much of what has gone on Wall Street.
In the case of Goldman, former New York governor and former New York State Attorney General Eliot Spitzer was very critical of the DOJ's decision and hinted that he would have been able to make a case out of it. He would have found some creative use of the law to get some criminal to launch some criminal cases here. Do you think that's it? Do you think that it's a matter of a different kind of thinking with these kinds of financial cases, a different kind of flexibility in using the law? Or are prosecutors like you used to be really just sort of hamstrung in these instances? There's such a public frustration over the lack of any criminal prosecution in this big 2008 meltdown of our financial system.
Well, that's a good point, and it is very hard without knowing all of the facts that prosecutors are looking at to criticize decisions not to go forward with criminal cases. In my experience, in the end, these cases are more driven by facts than they are driven by the law. Because you do have to remember that in criminal cases, there does have to be clear-cut evidence of wrongdoing. Prosecutors are not in the business of creating creative ways in order to bring criminal charges, because that doesn't put people on adequate notice as to whether or not what they're doing might be illegal. So it's really a question of digging down and finding the facts to show that individuals knowingly engaged in wrongdoing, that they knowingly misrepresented the facts, that they knowingly misled investors in order to bring these cases. And the problem with bringing criminal cases in the wake of the financial meltdown is that so many of these cases were affected by factors outside of the company. They were really swept up in what was more a global economic crisis. And with those intervening factors, it makes it difficult for prosecutors to draw that direct line between any alleged wrongdoing and a particular individual who may have been involved in it.
Robert Mintz, former assistant U.S. attorney in New Jersey, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This is WNYC.